The Preventive Health Policy Division hearing is called to order pursuant to House Rule 10.01. My name is Mike Freiberg. I'm the chair of this committee. Our first order of business is the roll call. Ms. Somick, could you please take the roll?
Representative Freiberg.
Present.
Representative Bierman.
Present.
Representative Grunhagen.
Present.
Representative Akam.
Present.
Representative Bajay.
Present.
Representative Ackland.
Present.
Representative Carlson.
Present.
Representative Franzen.
Present.
Representative Heinzman.
Present.
Representative Morrison.
Present.
Representative Pryor.
Present.
Chair, you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the February 10th, 2021 meeting of this division. Vice Chair Bierman, would you like to move approval of the minutes?
Yes, please, Mr. Chair, I move the minutes be accepted.
Okay, thank you. Is there any discussion to the minutes? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor, please unmute yourself and say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are adopted. So the only bill on our agenda today is House File 904. Representative Frazier is here to discuss it with us. Welcome to the Preventive Health Policy Division, Representative Frazier. I will first move your bill, House File 904, so that it is formally before our committee. The motion is to re-refer it to the Health Policy and Finance Committee. Would you like to discuss your bill?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I will. And I'll just to add up front, I will be kind of co-presenting with Ms. Latrice Vital. So I'll just put that out there, but I will again. So thank you, Chair, and members. Today I'm here to present House File 904, which takes a long overdue step to fight the youth tobacco epidemic and address tobacco-related health disparities, especially among Black Minnesotans. This bill would end the sale of all flavored tobacco products in Minnesota. Minnesota has been a leader in taking on tobacco addiction, and many of you have supported these efforts, including smoke-free protections and Tobacco 21. I wish those policies had ended tobacco's harm, but we continue to play catch-up with a deadly industry that spends $100 million a year marketing their products in our state. Ending flavored tobacco product sales is an important next step in our efforts to reduce tobacco use and to protect kids from lifetime addiction. Before I get into the specifics of why this policy is needed, let me walk you through the main components of the bill. This bill language was carefully crafted to focus on ending the sale of flavored tobacco products. This bill does not penalize the possession or use of these products by people across the state. We want to clear the market of these products, not punish those who are addicted to them because of years of tobacco industry targeting and easy access. So Section 1 outlines fines that would apply to tobacco retail license holders who sell flavored products. These fine amounts are the same ones retailers face if they sell to someone under the age of 21 or otherwise violate local retail licensing rules. Section 2 ensures cities and counties in Minnesota can continue passing policies to go beyond state law if they choose to. Section 3 is where flavored tobacco products are defined and their sale is prohibited. The definition of flavored product includes all flavors, including candy, fruit, mint, and menthol. The sale of flavored products is prohibited for all retailers, whether a brick and mortar store or online seller. And this policy is comprehensive and applies to all commercial tobacco products from menthol cigarettes to flavored e-cigarettes, hookah, cigars, smokeless, and so on. Section 4 outlines penalties for selling flavored products. Retailers would pay the same fines they pay if they violate other tobacco licensing regulations. Store clerks are not penalized in this bill. It is not their responsibility to know what products should be on the shelf or not. That is the store owner's job. And finally, flavored products sold in Minnesota would be considered contraband under Minnesota tax laws and subject to those existing penalties as well. I urge all of you to support this bill because clearing the market of flavored tobacco products would have wide-ranging health benefits. It would help improve lung health during the respiratory pandemic. It would reduce tobacco use among groups targeted by big tobacco, including youth, American Indian, LGBTQ+, and Black Minnesotans. It would lower health costs related to smoking, saving us all money. Perhaps most importantly, ending the sale of menthol and all flavored tobacco products is a concrete step we can take now to address the health crisis of racism. It is fitting that we are discussing this bill during Black History Month. Menthol tobacco products pose a grave threat to Black communities. Like so many other Black Americans, I have suffered immense personal loss from menthol tobacco products. My uncle started smoking menthol cigarettes at an early age. He was unable to break the addiction, and a few years ago lost his life to cancer. I also believe that we have to be mindful of the moment that we are in. The respiratory virus associated with this pandemic has taken a drastic and disproportionate toll on BIPOC communities, many of whom have had underlying medical conditions that correlate with the use of tobacco. As a parent and education professional, I also worry about the next generation of Minnesotans who are today facing an epidemic of e-cigarette use, a health crisis directly tied to flavored tobacco products. Youth smoking is historically low, but e-cig use has wiped out decades of our gains on several youth tobacco use. Huge numbers of students, even those who would never have smoked, are drawn to addictive nicotine. Minnesota communities have again started leading the way toward a healthier state free from tobacco addiction. As a New Hope City Council member, I helped our city pass a policy that restricted the sale of candy-flavored tobacco products. I pushed to have a full restriction on all flavors, and there was a strong support for the state taking that step. To date, 21 Minnesota communities have passed policies covering 20% of the state population. 16 of those cities and counties have policies covering all flavored products, including menthol. In late December, the House Select Committee on Racial Justice endorsed this effort to address the health threat of flavored tobacco products. The committee's recommendations included a call to end the sale of menthol and all flavored tobacco products in Minnesota. Today, my testifiers are from the medical community, local leaders, elected officials, and students who can share real-life experiences. We cannot let Big Tobacco's profits dictate our stance on tobacco regulation. I urge you to put the health of our kids and the health of our Black brothers and sisters ahead of Big Tobacco profits so that we may live healthier and longer lives. It is with great urgency that I ask you to support this bill and help make Minnesota a more thriving and healthy state. Thank you.
Thank you. And I understand you have one person presenting with you. Just so members are aware, there will be equal time for supporters and opponents of the bill following the author's presentation, and then there will be time for member discussion afterwards. So welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and then proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Latricia Vitale. Mr. Chair, thank you for having me here, and thank you also, Representative Frazier, for allowing me to co-present with you. Again, my name is Latricia Vitale. I'm the Director of Health Policy and Advocacy at North Point Health and Wellness Center in North Minneapolis, and I'm also a Minneapolis Parks Commissioner. I'm representing Minnesotans for a Smoke-Free Generation, a coalition of 60-plus organizations preventing youth tobacco addiction. I also co-chair the Menthol Coalition, a group fighting for the problem of menthol tobacco, especially in the Black community. This is Black History Month, and I want to give a little history on tobacco and Black Americans. For over 60 years, Big Tobacco has marketed menthol cigarettes to African Americans. They advertised in Black publications and neighborhoods, sponsored concerts, even drove around Black neighborhoods handing out free menthol. These strategies worked in the 1950s. In the 1950s, less than 10% of Black Americans smoked or use menthols. Today, 85% of Black smokers do, compared to 29% of white smokers. One side effect of the tobacco industry's campaign is that today some people think menthol tobacco is a Black thing. Let me be clear, menthol is not a Black thing. It's a tobacco industry marketing thing. Menthol is a mint-flavored chemical that's added to cigarettes, e-cigarettes, and smokeless tobacco. It's a cooling chemical that makes it easier to start and easier to inhale, yet harder to quit. Add in marketing, and we wonder why African Americans have the highest death rate and the shortest survival rate for most cancers. Black people are 53% more likely to die from heart disease, the top smoking-related disease, and COVID, which has also disproportionately affected the Black community and has worse effects on smokers. This shows us how these deadly disparities play off of each other. Research shows many Black smokers say if menthol wasn't available, they'd quit altogether. Yet again and again, menthol gets exempted from flavor policies. For example, since the federal government restricted only certain e-cigarettes, menthol e-cigarette use has soared. In your packet, we included a graphic that shows just how many vaping products remain on the marketplace. Of course, Black people aren't the only ones hurt by menthol products. They're popular among all among other demographics, kids, Latinx, LGBTQ, and yes, even straight white people. I was recently shocked when I spoke to a group of Hmong middle schoolers in North Minneapolis and learned just how many of them are aware and using e-cigarettes. Here is the big picture. In 2019, a Minnesota student survey found that more than a quarter of Minnesota 11th graders and over 10% of 8th graders are vaping. In just 3 years, the 11th grade rate increased 54%. The 9th grade rate increased 75%, and the 8th grade vaping rate nearly doubled. On the national scale, menthol products now account for half of all e-cigarette sales. And of the 3 million high school students who vape, 1.9 million use menthol or mint e-cigarettes. The federal government has near complete authority to regulate all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes, but they fail to protect Black Americans from menthol cigarettes and fail to protect our kids from flavored e-cigarettes. These flavors attract kids, and the high levels of nicotine in today's e-cigarettes quickly addict them. As Representative Frazier mentioned, our coalition has worked to pass local policies to build momentum for a statewide law. In communities like Minneapolis, we've seen how retailers have bent over backwards to get around local law, which is why I'm glad this bill ends the sale of all products in all places instead of just designating which stores can sell these products. I authored an op-ed on this topic, which is included in your packet also. We can't wait another decade or two to address the harms of menthol tobacco, menthol cigarettes, and flavored vapes. Let's build on Minnesota's leadership of strong bipartisan tobacco prevention by passing this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Vita, for your testimony. So I just want to, before we turn to public testimony, I want to explain how the process will work. So as stated on the committee homepage, testifiers needed to sign up by 5 p.m. yesterday. Each side will have up to 20 minutes. Each testifier has, there was a lot of interest, so we had to put in limits, which we normally wouldn't do on bills, but there's so much interest in this, we want to make sure as many people as possible have the opportunity to speak both for and against. So each testifier will have up to 2 minutes within the allocated 20 minutes. Staff will give a 30-second warning when time is about to expire. We're going to have opponents of the bill go first. We know there are some who signed up who have out-of-state addresses. We're generally going to go in the order in which people signed up, but we are going to try to prioritize people who are from Minnesota. We'll try to get to as many people as possible. If we don't get to everybody, you are encouraged to submit your comments in writing within 24 hours, and those will be entered into the record and given to members. And I know many testifiers have already done that, which we appreciated. So in terms of public testimony and opposition, as I said, each person will have 2 minutes to speak. We have 15 people who've signed up. And several who have also submitted a written testimony. So the first person I have on the list is Mr. Thomas Bryant.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Heintzman.
I appreciate your itinerary and your explanation of what the timeline's gonna look like. You didn't mention member questions. Is there gonna be time allowed for that?
Yes. I believe I did mention that earlier, but it's always good to clarify these things. Yes, so by having supporters and opponents speak for 20 minutes each, my hope is that will leave approximately half an hour for member questions.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep. Thank you, Representative Heintzman. So Mr. Thomas Bryant, I have as the first person to speak. So just please unmute yourself and then identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Tom Bryant, and I represent the Minnesota Wholesale Marketers Association, which is comprised of wholesalers that sell products to retail stores. House File 904 will have serious unintended health consequences. First, flavored tobacco products will shift from the state's licensed and regulated system to sources where the state has no control, including an illicit market, online websites, or cross-border purchases. This would not be beneficial to the public health. Second, there is no deterrence in the bill because it does not penalize the possession and use of tobacco products. Those Minnesotans who use flavored tobacco products will continue to do so with no threat of state enforcement. Third, the governor's budget, which earmarks proposed cigarette and tobacco tax increase revenue for tobacco cessation and health education programs, will be severely undermined when tax collections fall far short of projections if the bill is enacted. Conversely, the public health is already being protected by recent federal laws. Last February, the FDA adopted a ban on the sale of many flavored cartridge-based electronic cigarettes because these kinds of products appeal to youth. The FDA also required manufacturers of electronic cigarettes and new tobacco products to file special pre-market tobacco applications. The FDA must use a standard that each product is, quote, appropriate for the protection of the public health, close quote, to authorize the marketing of a tobacco product. The FDA has the resources to scientifically review these applications, and it should be the arbiter of which flavored products remain on the market based on the agency's health standard. Finally, the bill would ban the sale of specific flavored tobacco products that have received the FDA's special designation as being a modified risk tobacco product, which means they have a lower level of risk to the user. Under the bill, even these flavored lower risk products would be removed from stores to the detriment of tobacco consumers. If you are not aware of these federal actions and their cumulative impact on flavored tobacco products, the committee should not move forward with House File 904. For all of these reasons, we urge you to not vote in favor of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Bryant. You were right within the 2 minutes, which I appreciate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep, thank you. I apologize in advance if I mispronounce anyone's name. I'm just going to put that out there at this point as a blanket statement. Like I said, we've had several people sign up, and I haven't had the opportunity to verify the pronunciation beforehand. Next on the list is Kevin Aldwake.
Morning, Mr. Chair. Committee member, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Kevin Aldwalk. I'm here today on behalf of several retailers and myself. I own a small business in Minneapolis, and I'm here today to voice my concern on this controversial statewide flavored tobacco ban. A proposal without any consideration to current social and economic hardship facing both our residents and small businesses alike, and without considering some facts. I own a small store in Minneapolis. In recent years, the store industry has become the battleground for excessive regulation and meaningless bans on legal products readily available for adult use everywhere else. For instance, our industry get the blame for increased youth use and addiction to flavored tobacco and vape products, although our stores are heavily regulated with 21-year age requirement. And in most cities, a complete flavor ban in the C-store industry is already in place. This is while having almost 98% tobacco check compliance in recent years. Meanwhile, the same products are readily available online to anyone to purchase without any regulation or restrictions. I find the eagerness to introduce legislative bills to ban legal products statewide in the name of protecting our youth without even considering the needs of adult users and without providing an outlet of exclusion that allows specialty adult stores to carry these products mind-boggling. Let's keep in mind that these products are already available for sale with less restriction and lower taxes at every bordering state. Minnesota is already one of the highest tobacco tax states. Minnesota already has adopted and raised the age to purchase 21. Cities and counties across the state are already banning the sale of flavored tobacco and vape products from C stores and restricting it to adult and specialty stores. Obviously, current policies aren't working because of the online loophole. Why not introduce that? Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, and I apologize for being abrupt, but we want to make sure we hear from as many people as possible. I really appreciate your testimony, so thank you for being here. Next on the list is Sherry Dorsey. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Sherry Dorsey and I'm 65 years old. I live in Mankato, Minnesota. I'm here today to implore you to oppose HF 904. In February 2010, I was rushed to the hospital by ambulance in total respiratory failure after smoking cigarettes for 35 years. The cardiologist later told me I was literally 5 to 10 minutes from dying. I tried everything to quit, the patch, the gum, Chantix, cold turkey, even hypnosis. Nothing worked for me until I discovered vaping and flavored e-liquid. As part of my yearly physical, I had a CT scan done on my lungs, and it came back showing no signs that I had ever been a smoker and no ill effects from vaping. Flavors are really important for adult vapers who have quit smoking. The claim that adult vapers don't need flavored products is a political position and not a scientific one. E-liquid is flavored because the flavor is a key feature of the product. It's an advantage vaping has over smoking. Research shows adult vapers who have quit smoking prefer fruit, dessert, and candy flavors above all others, especially tobacco. It should not be taken as a given that adult products that appeal to adolescents should be banned. According to a 2019 study by researchers at Yale University, the use of these flavors is associated with positive smoking cessation outcomes for adults, but is not associated with increased youth smoking. As with any prohibition, a flavor ban will not, in fact, clear the market of flavored e-cigarettes. It will provide a series of market and consumer responses, some of which may cause more harm than good. These consequences include the closure of thousands of small to medium businesses, as the products they make and sell are predominantly flavored. Many of these also provide a market-based supportive service to smokers wishing to take up vaping as an alternative to smoking. Please, the development of the new... I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, please wrap up your testimony. You can have one or two sentences to finish.
There would also be a migration of users to existing unregulated subculture of DIY mixing of nicotine and food flavors. I want to thank you for your time today on behalf of myself and all Minnesota vapers, small business owners, and adult consumers. And I'm asking you not to sign my death warrant and oppose 904.
Thank you for your testimony. Just a note, generally speaking, testifiers don't ask questions. I have noticed one testifier raise their hand a couple times. I can say, though, that testifier is on the list to speak, and we should have time to get to that person. So there's no need to raise your hand here. So the next speaker I have on our list is Richard Marianos, and after Richard will be Art Way. So is Richard Marianos here? Actually, I'm not sure they are logged in. Okay, I'm not seeing Richard Marianos, so I will move ahead to Art Way, and after Mr. Way will be Cap O'Rourke. So Mr. Way, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I appreciate you all giving me the opportunity to testify. I am a drug policy consultant. I spent the last 10 years as a harm reductionist and a drug policy reformer within the nonprofit and social justice space. And that's where I met my current client and began to work with them, Reynolds American, soon before the death of Eric Garner, which, as you all know, related to tobacco policy. If this bill passes, my primary concern is that you are basically creating a underground economy that can do more harm to the people who you're actually trying to help. When it comes to those who will fill the vacuum on the underground economy, they won't be asking for ID. They won't be worried about youth initiation. And many of the folks who will pick up the bill and fill the space will be the communities of color who need a supplementary source of income. So you're actually creating an underground market that's going to be more dangerous for youth and people of color than actually regulating this and doing the hard work of public health. when it comes to Black folks and menthols, despite the marketing and the promotional ploys of the industry, we are no more a victim of the tobacco industry than anybody else. Our smoking rates are either lower or similar to those of white people. Our youth smoking rates are even lower than white folks. And you know, given the fact that we have dealt with a lot of things as a purposely disenfranchised community, the fact that our smoking rates are low, I think, should be actually celebrated. So, you know, I think you just need to Google menthol man murdered in Chicago to get an idea of the type of underground economy that you will create if this ban is passed. The Black community does not need another supplemental source of income that's on the margins of society. I definitely suggest that you all do not pass this bill and simply do the hard work that drug dependency takes when it comes to harm reduction. You need to take a scalpel to this issue. These communities need behavioral health services more so than bans and prohibitions. And I ask you to not pass this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Way. Next, we have Cap O'Rourke, and after Cap O'Rourke will be Maher Safi. Mr. O'Rourke, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Cap O'Rourke. I'm trying to turn my video on, but I don't think I can. I think it's been blocked. Anyways, there we go.
Okay. We see you now, too.
There we go. Mr. Chair, members, my name is Cap O'Rourke. I am here on behalf of the Midwest Vapor Coalition. I am urging you not to pass Senate File 9 or House File 904. The implications of this bill, there are a number of issues with this bill. Most importantly, it does not have a policy based on the risk continuum. It includes vapor products in the same category with what we know is a deadly tobacco product. The majority of cities that have passed flavor regulations, the vast majority, have done so, and they've limited flavored products to age-restricted stores. This is modeled after our current liquor program that you can buy flavored liquor and all sorts of things in age-restricted liquor stores. And we would urge the committee to follow the lead of cities like St. Paul, Minneapolis, Duluth, Roseville, this summer, even New Hope, when then Councilmember Frazier voted for this ban to be restricted to age-restricted stores. This is a better policy model. While we are concerned and we share the concerns of the uptick in youth use of vapor products, it should be noted that we've had flavors in the market since 2009, but the youth uptick has coincided with the release onto the market of high nicotine products. And if this legislation were to pass, the only thing that would be left on the market is the high nicotine products like Juul, which can have upwards of 10 times the amount of nicotine as the average open system product that are sold at vape specific stores. I would urge you to please hold off on passing 904 and work with the stakeholders to get a policy that's based on the risk continuum. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke. Next on the list is Maher Safi, and after Maher Safi, it will be Roger Schmidt. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
My name is Maher Safi, and I own and operate several age-restricted tobacco shops around the Twin Cities. Let me first start by mentioning that restricting access to adults who choose to consume illegal flavored tobacco products such as menthol or any product that a certain minority group prefers or uses is the definition of racist itself. Restricting access to Blacks and forcing them to go out of their way to purchase illegal product is racist and unfair to these groups. You remember, if you are singling out menthol and other flavors from a huge list of other tobacco products, would you dare to ban Marlboro cigarettes for white people? I don't think you will. I know this industry, and I know that Newport cigarettes will be sold on the street and will become a huge problem for this community and for the community of the Black people. Furthermore, most businesses that sell tobacco product, whether it's a grocery store or tobacco shop, in the Twin City are owned and operated by minorities and minorities business, small business owners. We are not big tobacco. Businesses operate on a small margin. If you allow this legislation to pass, know that you will be shutting down hundreds of businesses and depriving the state of Minnesota from collecting millions of dollars in taxes. Finally, I would like to propose an amendment to first allow age-restricted stores to sell all flavored tobacco products to those adults who are over the age of 21. Second, to allow other grocery stores and gas stations to sell menthol tobacco. And third, ban the sale of flavored tobacco products online.
That's
and
fine.
Fourth, ban the advertisement of tobacco products on TV, radio, and social media. These are real solutions to this problem. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next on the list, I have Roger Schmidt, and after Roger Schmidt will be Kim Murray. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Roger Schmidt, and I'm a 46-year-old resident of Hennepin County. So 8 years ago, when I became a newly recovered person from an alcohol substance addiction, I immediately wanted to make a healthier transition from the tobacco products of 25 years I've been using. Vaping was and is still, in my experience, a far better experience on every health level and every group of people that I'm associated with. And that includes many, if not all, of the groups I've heard represented here today. And that is as a Caucasian male father who spends a lot of time with youth and community of all kinds of backgrounds. And this option of vaping has allowed me to actually be a healthier, more productive, and better representative and stronger voice to help young people make good choices and decisions. I totally respect the concerns and the fears that are happening as a result of people dissecting the effect of flavored liquids and who it's impacting. But I would urge the opposition of HF 904, go back to the drawing board. Please consider more of the facts and data. And honestly, as cliche as this sounds, to quote somebody like Spock, the good of the many outweighs the good of some. We really need to look at the large numbers before acting on this bill.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Schmidt. Next, I have Kim Murray, and after Kim Murray will be Lindsay Stroud.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Kim Murray, and I live in Brainerd. I'm an advocate for tobacco harm reduction. Thank you for giving me the privilege of expressing my opposition to HF 904. There's no tobacco in vapor products. Vapor products with the taste or smell of tobacco have been artificially flavored to resemble the taste of tobacco. Flavors are important to smoking cessation. This is why nicotine gum and other cessation products come in flavors. None of those products come in a tobacco flavor. Vapor products may not be FDA approved for smoking cessation, but medical marijuana is a shining example of how not all helpful things are FDA approved. The vapor products sold at a local vape shop are mostly products made by small businesses, not big tobacco. Vapor products are the consumer solution to the tobacco problem, and they work. Who's going to determine of what tastes or smells like tobacco? Is there a statutory definition? In my written testimony, there's a list of the ingredients used in tobacco-flavored cigarettes. You will find flavors like chocolate, vanilla, cinnamon, fruit, beverages, and spices. They're a part of what makes a tobacco cigarette taste and smell like tobacco. Those flavors are listed in the prohibited flavors in HF 904. If a tobacco product has a vanilla in it, where is the line between it being classified as a tobacco flavor and it being classified as a vanilla flavor? We are all unique in our own sense of taste and smell. If I can't taste the vanilla and you can, is it flavored or not? This is an issue not only for the vapor market, but also for premium cigars. Banning flavored vapor products will have the unintended consequence of devaluing the lives of the adults who depend on these products to quit smoking. Those adults deserve the safer alternative that vapor technology offers. Because these products help people quit smoking and save lives, I oppose HF 904, and I pray you'll do the same. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Finally, we have Lindsay Stroud. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yes, just fine.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Lindsay Stroud, and I'm a policy analyst with the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. I did submit written testimony and just kind of wanted to highlight some things. One, youth are not overwhelmingly using e-cigarettes just because of flavors. In some states, youth risk behavior surveys ask students why they use e-cigarettes. In an aggregate data from five different states, only 4.8% of high school students use e-cigarettes because of flavors. Conversely, 16.8% cited other and 12.3% cited using e-cigarettes because friends or family members use them. Contrary to this narrative that e-cigarettes lead to smoking, vapor product emergence correlates with lower smoking rates among young adults, according to data from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey. Between 1998 and 2008, smoking rates among current smokers aged 18 to 24 years old in Minnesota increased by 7.7%. 10 years after e-cigarettes market emergence, 2009 to 2019, young adult smoking rates decreased by 61.2%. Minnesota does underfund tobacco control programs, including education and prevention. In 20 years between 1999 and 2019, Minnesota allocated only $460.7 million towards tobacco control. In the same period, the state received more than $7.5 billion in cigarette tax revenue and $4.29 billion in tobacco settlement payments. To put it in further perspective, in 2019, Minnesota spent $17.3 million in state funding on tobacco control programs, including education, cessation, and prevention. This amounts to $27.32 per year per smoker and $13.28 per resident under age 18. Rather than imposing bans, lawmakers should utilize existing tobacco monies and work with retailers to address youth use. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Stroud. That's a couple minutes over the time we had allocated for people testifying in opposition. We were able to get through all of the testifiers from Minnesota, plus one or two more, but there were a few people who were not able to sign up or not able to speak. Again, I would just encourage you to submit written testimony to our committee administrator, Ms. Laura Takenholtze, and we will make sure that your testimony is submitted to members of the committee. But I apologize, we do not have time for everybody. So we will turn now to the people testifying in support of the legislation. First on the list, I have Dr. Alex Fang. And after Dr. Fang will be Aryun Maheshwari. Dr. Fang, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
All right, thanks, Mr. Chair. So I think my video is disabled, so I'll let the host take care of that. I'm Dr. Alex Fang. I live in Mendota Heights. Pretty excited to be here. I'm kind of hiding in one of the medical closets right now, so forgive me. But as a physician, so I'm all too familiar with the impact of commercial tobacco use. So it causes all sorts of bad things, lung cancer, emphysema, heart attacks and strokes. It can worsen chronic conditions, asthma, diabetes. And here, I'm hearing more about vaping and Juuls. E-cigarettes are not safe for young people, given that they have huge amounts of nicotine and the nicotine levels keep rising. So no amount of nicotine, I wanna make sure that everyone understands, is safe for developing youth. And teens are more likely to begin smoking conventional cigarettes once they've started using e-cigarettes. And more Minnesota adults are using e-cigarettes who've never smoked. So in 2014, there were only 12% of adult e-cigarette users had never smoked. Now in 2018, that ballooned to 44%. So almost half of current adult e-smokers have never smoked. So some tobacco industry folks, including those on the call, will say that flavored e-cigarettes are used for quitting. I want to make one thing clear. E-cigarettes are not approved by the FDA for quitting help. So thankfully, there are FDA-approved options, you know, including, say, nicotine cap patches, gum, lozenges to quit, and all Minnesotans can access free quit tobacco help through Quit Partner. So I also want to thank you for including menthol in this bill because it is particularly dangerous. Like all flavors, menthol flavoring hides its harshness, makes it easier for adults to get started, and because it's less irritating, it gives a false impression that it's healthier. It isn't. And there's evidence that menthol cigarettes may be more addictive than regular cigarettes, making them even harder to quit. So in closing, we are living in the midst of a global respiratory, sorry, COVID, so COVID can have devastating impacts for anyone who gets it. But research shows smokers who acquire the virus have more severe problems and worse outcomes. This makes it more important than ever to help decrease the number of tobacco users, and especially to ensure that young people don't suffer from a lifetime of tobacco addiction and disease. So thank you so much for putting the health of our community first in support of this bill.
Thank you for your testimony, Dr. Fung. Next on the list, I have Arjun Maheshwari, and after Arjun will be Gene Nichols. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Freeberg and members. My name is Arjun Maheshwari, and I'm a senior at Edina High School. Last year, I worked closely with Representative Edelson and Senator Nelson on the Bipartisan Vaping Awareness and Prevention Act, which ended up passing the legislature. I've also worked on leading Edina policies, including Tobacco 21 and our full flavor law. As someone who has seen the vaping problem firsthand, I'm thrilled that you are considering prohibiting the sale of all flavored tobacco products. The plain and simple truth is this. The vaping industry is appealing for one reason, and it's because of its flavors. Opponents cite cherry-picked studies to refute this claim, but meta-analyses confirm that this claim is a reality. Teens recoil at the thought of smelly cigarettes, but years of pro-vaping advertising has lured my friends and loved ones to those appealing flavors. The impact is dire. Just here in Minnesota alone, young lungs are collapsing all the time. Yes, vaping did start as a safer alternative, but has been weaponized to line the pockets of the tobacco industry by trapping another generation into nicotine addictions. Retailers say that kids will turn to other means. Sure, illicit and online markets will always exist, but far fewer youth actually have access to these expensive and far-fetched sources. Thus, we need your help fast. Federal action is not nearly enough. The policy that you're considering would catalyze momentous change for generations to come. Passing this bill now in 2021 would be akin to nearly stopping the cigarette problem in previous generations decades before it was curtailed in reality. I'm particularly impressed that this bill covers all flavors and all types of tobacco products.
30 seconds remaining.
Thank you for listening to the affected communities instead of the consultants and lobbyists and retailers. I fully support the proposal to prohibit the sale of all flavored tobacco products, and I hope you will vote yes on House File 904 as a part of a wide-ranging effort to address youth tobacco use. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Maheshwari. Next on the list is Gene Nichols, and after Gene Nichols will be Suzanne Nash. Mr. Nichols, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Gene Nichols. I am here in support of clearing the market of all flavored tobacco products, including menthol. I have retired from the 3M Healthcare Division, and I currently reside in Shoreview, Minnesota. Menthol tobacco continues to be disproportionately used among youth, Black, Indigenous, and people of color, and the LGBT communities. Greater use, addiction, and health disparities exist and persist because of the tobacco industry's history of marketing and promoting of menthol tobacco products in these communities. Growing up in New York, we were affected by the free cigarette vans strategically located in my community. My brother started smoking at the age of 15 as a result. 3 years ago, he succumbed to COPD after 54 years of smoking menthol. This kind of suffering must end. In 2015, I was a project manager for Minnesota Department of Health SHIP grant to investigate the use of menthol in the Twin Cities African-American community. A summary of that work is included in your packets. The data collected from this project found that the African-American smokers strongly supported policies regulating menthol tobacco products. We also found that 50% of African-American menthol smokers would quit if menthol products were taken off the market. A statewide survey was just done last year, bears this out as well. While support for getting rid of flavored tobacco sales, including menthol, was high among the general population at 74%, it was higher among Black people at 77%. The only other demographic where it was higher was in rural Minnesota, of whom 81% agreed. We must do all we can to protect the health and well-being of our youth and most marginalized communities against flavored tobacco products. Please vote yes to end the sale of all flavored tobacco products in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Nichols. Next on the list is Suzanne Nash, and after Ms. Nash will be Kelly Danielson. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Nash. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Suzanne Nash, and my native name is Neots. I'm enrolled in VoiceSport, and I work with the Indigenous Peoples Task Force. Our mission is to strengthen the health and education of Native people. Asema, or tobacco, as you may call it, was the first gift that was given to Native people as medicine. We use it for prayers and ceremonies, offerings for food, and to thank elders for sharing their wisdom. But when the Europeans came, they changed it to suit their needs and altered the plant for recreation, chemical stimulation, and for profit. In this form, it is called commercial tobacco. As a result, the sickness and death caused by commercial tobacco use has been enormous for Native people. Today, 59% of Indigenous people in Minnesota smoke. That's over four times the rate of the general population. Flavors are part of that. Among adults, 49% of urban American Indian smokers use menthol. We are seeing the next generation get hooked at 38% of Minnesota students who identify as American Indians were current tobacco users in 2019. I work with Native youth to educate about the difference between commercial and traditional tobacco. Finally, we are breaking the cycle and the disrespect and addiction, but commercial tobacco industry is still pushing their way into our culture. They are still using our images today, and flavored e-cigarettes are attractive to our youth. Last year, a report found that Juul reached out to at least eight tribes, spreading misinformation and trying to keep their grip on young people. I ask you today to protect our young people of Minnesota by passing this proposal and to think from your hearts. Miigwech.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Nash. Next on the list, I have Kelly Danielson, and after Kelly will be Grace Plowman. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Kelly Danielson, and I live in Minneapolis. I am a daughter, a mom, a caregiver, and a volunteer for the American Cancer Society Action Network, and I'm here today to seek support in support of House File 904. I have seen what decades of tobacco use does to a family. I have seen how tobacco industry tactics can lead to cancer, heartache, and ultimately death, and I know how we fight back against this. My mom started smoking cigarettes in her early 20s and continued for over 50 years. In 2012, a tumor the size of a Nerf football was found on her right lung, and for the next 10 months, she faced 55 rounds of radiation, 6 rounds of chemo, and was still going through treatment when she passed away on August 6, 2013. Tobacco took my mom's life and took her away from me. 6 years later, my stepdad, who smoked menthol cigarettes for over 50 years, had a stroke. At this time, doctors found tumors in his lungs, liver, bones, and lymph nodes. No treatment was available. He stopped eating, entered hospice, and 5 weeks later, he passed away. Big Tobacco relied on my mom and stepdad to fill their pocketbooks for decades, but didn't care about them when they were dying because of their products. Now, Big Tobacco has put a target on the back of my son, Jaden. He is 12 in seventh grade, biracial, and the tobacco industry said that they reserve the right to smoke for the young, the poor, the black, and the stupid. They use flavors to hook kids like my son just to get the next generation of users for their product. My son already saw his Nana and Papa die because of tobacco products and now is a prime target for the tobacco industry. How should that make a mom feel? My family's experience could have been prevented. Tobacco-related cancers can be prevented. Smart, bold policies like this one before you today can help keep more families from facing what mine did and prevent more kids from becoming addicted to these deadly products. Please vote yes on House File 904. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next on the list, I have Grace Plowman, and after Grace will be Lisa Smith. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Grace Plowman, and I live in Shoreview, Minnesota. I'm a senior at Mountain View High School. Throughout high school, I've done a lot of work with Tobacco 21 policies, tobacco compliance checks, and other youth anti-tobacco advocacy. During the pandemic, many students and teens have still been using e-cigarettes, even though many aren't in school. Teens are more stressed out, and they have more opportunities and hiding places at home that they don't have at school. Unlike cigarettes, it's extremely hard to detect if somebody's using them nearby, and it's easier for teens to hide these e-cigarettes from their parents. The e-cigarettes e-cigarette company Juul is responsible for the youth e-cigarette epidemic, and a smoke-free generation was in reach until Juul came around. Juul targeted young people with aggressive marketing tactics similar to other tobacco companies. They created a stealthy device with flavors and high nicotine content that was designed to be addictive. A federal report found that they used school presentations and summer camps for children as young as 8 years old to attract kids, as well as ads on homework sites and kids' websites like Nickelodeon. I was glad to be able to join elected leaders and other students when they announced Minnesota's lawsuit against Juul, and I'm encouraged to see that you're taking the next steps to prevent youth addiction. Juul opened their door for youth e-cigarette use, and so many other companies have followed. Tobacco companies target young students, especially with flavors and social media marketing. They advertise in places that they know impressionable teenagers will see. Now, young people are using disposable vapes like puff bars that come in a lot of flavors and have higher nicotine levels. You can see people selling them all over social media like Snapchat. Some young people I know have even casually started using Juul, but today use disposable e-cigarettes, and they've been spending all of their money on these products. We must get all flavored tobacco products out of our stores because they encourage kids to pick up smoking addictions. Thank you for hearing to me today. It's good to see adults care more, and it's powerful to meet other teens that care about having our peers not smoke or use tobacco. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next on the list is Lisa Smith, and after Ms. Smith will be Juul Cypress. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Lisa Smith, and I'm a health and physical education teacher at Lakeville South High School. I'm also the immediate past president of the Minnesota Society of Health and Physical Educators. Today in the United States, there are more than 3.6 million teens using e-cigarettes regularly. This is a whole generation that may grow up with addiction problems. This health crisis is disrupting learning, and it deserves urgent attention. When it comes to e-cigarettes in youth, there are three main areas for health concern. First, nicotine's damaging effects in the brain. Second, the damage that flavorings and other chemicals can do to a young person's lungs and body. Finally, underpinning this crisis is the systemic lack of student support and resources. Kids are being lured in by flavors, technology, and marketing. More than 8 in 10 youth who have ever tried tobacco started with flavored tobacco products. And 7 in 10 youth say they use e-cigarettes because it comes in flavors, right? Kids are being lured in by, kids are being hooked by nicotine. The devices currently popular among teens have extremely high amounts of nicotine. For example, each Juul pod this big contains more nicotine than an entire pack of cigarettes. I hear from teachers, parents, and students that some teens are going through multiple Juul pods every single day, which is a dangerously high level of nicotine. As a result, we're seeing nicotine withdrawals, attention and learning issues, and even examples of nicotine poisoning, known as Nic-Sit. For years, we have taught the youth about the harm of tobacco use. Yet, there's still this misconception that flavored tobacco products are safer than others. Taking flavored products off the market would make it easier for our kids to avoid temptation of even trying tobacco. Please support this bill as part of the comprehensive efforts that we are doing to reverse the youth tobacco epidemic. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next on the list, I have Juul Cypress, and after Mr. Cypress will be Dr. Susan Klenk. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Juul Cypress, and I'm a member of the Duluth City Council, and I'd like to urge the members to support statewide restrictions on all flavored tobacco products, including menthol. When I was first approached about potential restrictions on flavored tobacco products in Duluth, I did not have a fixed position. In fact, before placing a regulation on our local convenience stores, what I needed to determine was if the proposed regulation really would have a real and meaningful impact in combating nicotine addiction among youth in our community. Here's what persuaded me. First, local members of the most affected communities, African American, Indigenous, and LGBTQ, approached me directly to say that this was needed to protect youth from the predatory marketing practices of big tobacco. And then the second thing that persuaded me to support the restrictions was that the more I learned, the clearer it became that flavored tobacco products were central to big tobacco's efforts to addict youth to nicotine so as to ensure the next generation of customers for their deadly products. Flavored tobacco products, I learned, served the same purpose as did the infamous Joe Camel advertising campaign of a number of years ago. Whatever doubts I may have had about the real and meaningful impact of restriction on flavored tobacco products. Those doubts were fully put to rest by the astounding sums of money Big Tobacco spent trying to prevent the Duluth City Council from adopting such restrictions. Big Tobacco would not have gone to the lengths they did if they did not consider flavored tobacco products to be in their vital interests. But frankly, the money Big Tobacco spent in Duluth actually solidified support for the measure on our city council. Because if there's one thing Duluthians don't appreciate, it's when well-financed outside interests try to tell us what is best for our community. Please do what is best for our state and support statewide restrictions on all flavored tobacco products, including menthol.
Thank you for your testimony, Councilmember Cypress. Next on the list is Dr. Susan Klank, and then our final testifier will be Ms. Sylvia Amos. Dr. Klank, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Dr. Susan Klank, and I'm a family physician at the Daniels Clinic with Mankato Clinic in St. Peter. As a medical professional and as a parent of two teenage sons, I fully support House File 904. Every single year, Minnesota loses 6,300 residents and $7 billion to smoking. The individual health effects are catastrophic, and we all bear the human and economic costs. Thanks to decades of collaborative work, we were so close to raising a generation free from tobacco addiction. In 2019, youth cigarette smoking fell to the lowest levels ever recorded, though at that time, e-cigarette use reached an all-time high. This has created a whole new health crisis among our kids and young adults. Today, one in four Minnesota 11th graders is using e-cigarettes, which comes in more than 15,000 appealing flavors, such as watermelon, gummy bear, and unicorn drops, which are squarely aimed at our children. Two-thirds of Minnesota high school tobacco users use flavored products. As has already been shared, the tobacco industry has used flavored products to especially target communities of color, menthol in particular. Since adolescent brains are still developing, nicotine can cause lasting damage and set kids up for long-term addiction problems. Unfortunately, tobacco companies have figured out how to maximize addiction through flavors, additives, and nicotine content. Many of today's e-cigarettes include nicotine salts, which rapidly deliver nicotine to the brain, mimicking the nicotine hit of cigarettes. Another major concern for targeting youth is that e-cigarettes are a potential gateway to cigarette use. In one study of 17,000 adolescents and young adults, e-cigarette users had a 31% probability of initiating cigarette smoking versus 8% of never e-cigarette users. As a physician and a parent, I'm also potentially concerned about the normalization of smoking behavior. I'm concerned about the potential long-term complications we are as of yet not aware about e-cigarette use, and also that adults are relying on them to quit cigarettes. Let's not roll back progress that we've made in public health. Let's not let the tobacco companies keep selling, marketing, and addicting our youth, color, and LGBTQ communities.
Thank you for your testimony. Our final testifier is Ms. Sylvia Amos. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Sylvia Amos, and I serve as Director of Programs at the Stairstep Foundation. I am also a constituent of Representative Abaje. I serve as president of the Women's Auxiliary of the Minnesota State Baptist Convention. I have spent the last 3 years educating members of Stairstep Foundation, His Works United, which is a coalition over 100 Twin Cities African American churches, on the harmful effects of menthol tobacco. Last year, 16 churches were involved in No Menthol Sunday, which is one Sunday in a year that pastors across the United States dedicate to educating their congregations about menthol. I have seen the horrible consequences of tobacco addiction affect my family. For me personally, tobacco addiction has cost me the life of my mother, the life of a husband, and the life of three aunts, all whom smoked menthol cigarettes. My mother started smoking at the age of 11. She died from lung cancer at the age of 71, which was a direct result of her years of smoking Benson and Hedges menthol. Loss of life from menthol tobacco use is prevalent in my community. We all know, especially those in positions of power and those who hold the power, that the tobacco industry has relentlessly targeted Black Americans with marketing, and we suffer from tobacco-related diseases at a very high rate. That is racist. But too many, unfortunately, are unconsciously or inherently racist.
30 seconds.
A way of life and the way we do business in Minnesota and in America. For them, it has to do with power and profits. For us, it's a matter of life and death. When will we stop putting profits over lives and put lives above profits? Let's start today by passing this bill. I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Amos. And that concludes the public testimony that we have. So we will turn now to member discussion. I have four members on the list, Representatives Heintzman, Grunhagen, Morrison, and Franson in that order at this point. So Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll launch right in. I have a couple of things that I wanted to talk about, and hopefully Representative Fraser can provide some help. I'm working to understand. And one of the things I think I heard Representative Fraser say was that many of us on the committee are people that have been leaders on the smoke-free effort. And I think that that's an interesting comment. And I know that, Mr. Chair, this is probably something you're going to have a little bit of an issue with, but I am going to point out that a number of the DFL members on this committee, including Representative Fraser, have co-authored House File 600. It's the cannabis legalization bill. And I'll just read the quick description. Cannabis Management Board and Advisory Councils establish use and safe reports establish adult use and possession limited and legalized. And I'm struggling with some of the good things that we're hearing from the testifiers, some of the negative. If we're really working on the issue of a smoke-free Minnesota, how does this fit? And hopefully the bill author, Representative Fraser, can kind of give me some context for how the House File 600 fits in with kind of what we're trying to do with this issue. And, you know, two, the second part I'd hope that Representative Fraser could talk about is relative to the marijuana issue again, is there's numerous flavors in the marijuana category. I've Googled a little bit why we heard testimony, wedding cake, blue dream boy, lemon, lime, and just on down the list, many, many, many flavors, kind of in the same vein of what we're talking about today. And that second question then would be, if HF 600 was successful, would we then be going back to ban flavors of marijuana? That's just some things that were on the top of my head. I'm hoping that the bill author could help me out.
Sure. I will just quickly point out that House File 600 is not before this committee, but I will grant some latitude here and let Representative Fraser briefly answer this.
Thank you, Chair Freiberg. Representative Heintzman, thank you for that question. And I was going to point that out as well, that this bill, the cannabis bill, is not before this committee, and I am not the lead author there. I think many of those questions will be addressed when that bill, if that bill is before this committee at some point. So I won't step on the thunder of the lead author in that bill. But what I will say is this regulation is about safety for our young folks, for the next generation of consumers that the tobacco industries are looking to hook in and get addicted. When I told the story about my uncle, that's a tough story to tell, but I know it's a story that he was hooked at a very early age and he could not beat that addiction. I don't want to see thousands or millions of young people get hooked in that same way moving forward. That is one of the reasons why I'm authoring this bill and I'm supporting this bill. I would say that for the cannabis piece, the regulations would be the same. We're not looking to create another avenue where we're going to have something that will facilitate young people being hooked on anything that's going to be harmful to them.
Thank you, Representative Fraser.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Heintzman?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up, just a comment. You know, I'm not going to use a really negative word, but I will say that I think that it's incredibly inconsistent. And maybe the bill author can speak to this, but your comments really didn't address any of my questions, because here we have, I think, an effort to try to reduce the number of people that are using tobacco products. And I'm assuming we would agree that marijuana also is something that children should not be playing around with and is certainly something that adults, you could argue, have been impacting negatively. So it doesn't make sense. It seems that there's an inconsistency here. And if you could address that question, that's fine, Representative Fraser, but maybe that's a question we're not going to talk about today.
Representative Fraser, do you have any follow-up?
Mr. Chair, my latter comments were that we would regulate in a similar way to not provide facilitation for young people to have access to anything that may be harmful to them. I felt I did address that question. But thank you, Representative Heintzman, for that follow-up.
Thank you. And I would point out that House File 600 has a lot of protections in place that were adapted from the tobacco context to avoid some of the issues we've had with tobacco addiction and youth targeting. I know, for example, it has a limitation on, you know, on like gummy style products designed to look like gummy bears and candy, which to me seems pretty consistent with what this bill is trying to accomplish.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, briefly, we do have a couple other members who've signed up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned some of the provisions in House File 600, and I would just quickly ask, since you seem to be familiar with it, is there a flavor ban in House File 600 that would limit the flavors available? This is a bill that you've co-authored, Mr. Chair. Is that something that's there, or is that not yet present? And why not if it isn't?
Representative Heintzman, I don't believe there is. That bill still has a long way to go, and I assume will eventually end up in the Health Committee, although I don't know what its path is. And as I said, that bill is not before us. I'd like to go now to Representative Gruenhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I just want to say I realize the testifiers here today, pro and con, are well meaning and intended. Okay, I certainly have a concern about the promotion of addiction, especially to our young people. I did vote for raising the tobacco age up to 21 because for a number of reasons, but the promotion of addiction in our society is big business, whether it's pornography, certain types of music, illegal drugs, tobacco, or whatever. In fact, I got hooked on tobacco when I was in the Marine Corps. It's the only thing we could do in boot camp that wasn't gave a little respite from the drudgery. But anyway, so I do have a concern about that. But it does seem to me that the opponents raised some pertinent points on this, and especially about hurting small business and also the underground factor, that if you pass this bill, you're going to create an underground unregulated situation that young people and others are going to gravitate to. So I'd just like him to respond if that does make sense to him, or if he'd like to address this in the future in the bill somehow, or what his thoughts are, having heard that testimony. I got a follow-up question.
Representative Frazier.
Thank you, Chair Freiberg. Representative Ruhrer, thank you for that question. You know, I think I take these comments to heart, the things that were shared by the opponents, but I also very much take to heart the things that were shared by those that were supportive of this bill and the damage that it's done to their families and the communities that they come from. With that said, this bill has a ways to go. I am open to conversations around how we can tweak it to make it better, how we can tweak it to make sure that we are addressing the issues that have come up as much as we can. So I will tell you that I am very open to that, and I will continue to have that conversation as I move the bill forward.
Representative Gruenhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I think you testified, Representative Frazier, that 20% of local communities have passed restrictions on the sale of these flavored vaping products. You know, I'm a big local control person. Rather than a one-size-fits-all that comes either from the federal or state government, because it tends to have much more negative ramifications. So I tend to support this local control. If a community or a city wants to pass some regulations on this and to limit access, I'm more than happy to do that. But to do this one-size-fits-all, and again, I understand where you're coming from, and I identify with the promotion of addiction, especially to our young people. But at this point, I'm going to have to be a no. I guess the question would be, wouldn't you rather see local control on this rather than a one-size-fits-all?
Representative Frazier.
Representative Gruhan, thanks again for that input. And again, you know, thank you for sharing your story about your days in the military and how you became addicted. I think that was important for me to hear that, and for many of those on here. What I would say is that, you know, I'm a former city council member, so local control means something to me. But I do think that the government plays a pretty good role, a really good role, and can play a very strong role when we're talking about something where we can have an impact on the overall health of the state as a whole. You know, I think one of the testifiers said, he quoted Spock and said, what's good for the many is better than what's good for the few. I think this is a bill that is something that will be good for the broader community and the broader residents in Minnesota. When you look at the surveys that showed the percentage of folks that are in support of a bill like this moving forward, I think that says a lot about where we are as a community, where we are as a state, and where we would be if we pass this bill. I think people are very supportive of it, and they want to see this happen because it will have an impact on the health of the entire state in a positive way.
Thank you, Representative Fraser. Representative Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I want to thank Representative Fraser and Ms. Vita and all the testifiers. These flavored products were developed by the industry to create a new generation of customers for them after the revelations about how the industry hid the evidence of the health impacts of cigarettes and the ensuing tobacco litigation and settlements. The industry has known the addictive power of nicotine for many decades and wants to maintain a cohort of people, of customers, that are addicted to it. They know that kids like flavors. We know that the vast majority of kids who vape use flavors. The industry specifically targets young people, BIPOC communities, LGBTQ people to create this new group of customers. I want to recenter what the intent of this bill is, as so many of the testifiers described so well. So I want to direct you to the list of organizations who support the bill. The Twin Cities Medical Society, Children's Minnesota, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Apple Tree Dental, the American Lung Association, the American Heart Association. These organizations support this bill because they know the dangers and the consequences of flavored tobacco products. They take care of those consequences. This is a public health issue. This is an equity issue. This is an economic issue. I urge the committee to vote yes.
Thank you, Representative Morrison. Representative Franson, then Representative Agbaje, and Representative Pryor. You are muted, Representative Franson.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I have a few questions here for the bill author, if he would indulge me. So my first question here, I got them all written down here. If this were to pass, what would the fiscal impact of the ban? What would be the hit to the general budget?
Representative Fraser?
Thank you, Chair Freiberg. Representative Franson, I do not have those numbers with me at the moment, but that is absolutely something that we can take a look at. So I appreciate that question.
Thank you.
Representative Franson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Fraser. I have an estimate that it is estimated that the general budget or general fund would take about a $418 million hit in the biennium. So something to think about as you move the bill forward. My second question is, what will the impact on law enforcement be, and have we gotten any input from law enforcement on this bill?
Sure, thank you, Representative Franson. Just to clarify, I believe this bill does not require a fiscal note and there is none for it. But to the question about law enforcement, Representative Fraser.
Representative Franson, if I could ask you to be a little bit more specific about what do you believe the impact would be on law enforcement?
Representative Franson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Fraser. Well, I'm just wondering with the enforcement of the bill, that is all.
Representative Fraser.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Yes, as Chair Freiberg mentioned, there is no need for a fiscal note on this in that terms, and I do not have numbers around in terms of what the impact would be on law enforcement in terms of enforcement.
Representative Franson.
Final question for Representative Fraser. So we are criminalizing, and first off, I'm not a smoker, I don't vape, so I'm just asking questions here. But why are we criminalizing a legal product of this bill meanwhile legalizing an illegal product with the marijuana bill. And as I kind of glanced at House File, I think, what is it, 600 or whatever, the bill that's being heard in Commerce today, the marijuana bill, vaping-flavored marijuana is not in that bill. It is House File 600. It is not in that bill at all. So on top of why are we legalizing an illegal product with the marijuana bill but criminalizing this bill, would you be willing to offer an amendment to House File 600 that would kind of prevent the flavored marijuana products and the edibles from being sold so that we are ahead of the curve than meanwhile trying to chase it?
Just to clarify, I pulled up the bill language just before Representative Frazier answers. I don't know if it's accurate to say this criminalizes. First of all, House File 600 is not before us. This bill is. I don't know if it's accurate to say it criminalizes flavored tobacco. It's treated, you know, when we adopted the Tobacco 21 law, I know we actually took out some of the penalties related to possession, use, and purchase of
tobacco. There is some fines, Mr. Chair, for violations.
This is handled,
Mr. Chair.
Licensing. Representative Frazier.
Thank you, Chair Freiberg. Representative Frazier, yes. The fines are for the store owners. They are not for individuals that will have possession of those products if they should be in possession of those products after this bill passes. And that's very intentional. It is not the intent to criminalize addiction, which is one of the reasons why we're looking at other substances such as cannabis. As you know, the war on drugs has had a detrimental, disproportionate, inequitable impact, particularly on communities, BIPOC communities. So we're looking to try to, if you reconcile that and have a reckoning with that. And this bill is absolutely not going to criminalize possession for someone who has an addiction issue. It is absolutely doing the opposite thing. But I appreciate that. I appreciate those comments.
Representative Franson, final question.
Well, I'm just kind of curious. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Frazier, if you would be willing to, put an amendment forward on House File 600 to prevent the sales of flavored marijuana items. Now you can vape marijuana too, I hear, as well as as well as purchase the edibles, the gummies, and the other items. Not sure what the correct term is for these things, but I'm just putting that out there. If your intention or plan is to kind of get ahead of the tsunami, so we're not dealing with some of the same issues that parents in other states are dealing with on that front.
Well, I'm sure we can consider that when and if House File 600 comes before this committee. So thank you for your questions, Representative Franson. I have a few more who've been added to the list. So next is Representative Agbaje.
Thank you, Chair Freiberg. I will try to be brief. I just, again, want to kind of recenter our focus on this bill, 904, which is about the banning of flavored tobacco products. To me, my reading of the bill doesn't do anything to prevent the sale of regular tobacco or criminalize people who are in possession of tobacco. And so one thing I want to point out that really stood out to me with all the testifiers is that young people are speaking to us. They want us to listen to them. And they know the dangers of flavored tobacco among their demographic and in their schools and with their friends. And they're asking us to lead in this space. So I want to say thank you to Representative Frazier for carrying this bill and leading this discussion that we're having. We've known of the tobacco industry and its targeted marketing. And I think that this is a way that we can try to start to get at that in order to prevent young people from starting up. And as we heard from one of the testifiers, even adults from starting up and getting addicted to nicotine, which is really the central issue here. So I think the only question I have, if you have an answer to it, Representative Frazier or Ms. Vita, is how you see this bill enhancing the efforts to support cessation programs and preventing young people from smoking in the first place. Thank you.
Representative Frazier or Ms. Vita, quickly, because we need to move to a vote pretty soon, and we do have three more members on the list.
Mr. Chair, Representative Agbaje, I think this bill, what it does, it takes away access to these flavored products that are getting kids introduced to and addicted to nicotine. It does not impact the FDA-approved products for cessation. I think by gearing people or funneling people towards those will have a greater impact on having folks to get away from the addiction of nicotine.
Thank you. I have Representatives Pryor, Bierman, and Akam on the list. I think you can each have about 2 minutes at this point, but we need to vote by noon, and then we have 10 minutes left. So next, Representative Pryor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and appreciate just a quick question with Lisa Smith, our health teacher from Lakeville, if she's still available. And I got a little bit about talking about the study that she was looking at about e-cigarettes. 7 of 10 kids chose them because they had a flavor. And I just wanted to make sure I got that right and to hear more about, because, you know, that is the crux of what we're talking about, is the flavors. We're not banning a delivery device for this, you know, tobacco, which is a very dangerous and addictive substance, but it's legal. We're not banning it, but it's the marketing of flavors is what we're banning, and we know that that's having a big impact on young people. So if Ms. Smith could comment on that again, if I have those numbers right, and where, a little bit about that study in 10 seconds. Or she can nod if it's correct.
Ms. Smith, are you still here? I'm not seeing her name. I'm seeing Mr. Maheshwari nodding. So.
All right, that's good enough for me. Okay.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Representative Beer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, just wanted to weigh in on the fact of what this bill is really about. It's about addiction. It's about illness. It's about the health care costs we are all spending for this addiction, which has been visited upon us, and which the tobacco industry is able to utilize a new method to attract new people addicted. And so I just want to thank Representative Frazier for bringing this bill forward and to help us see that it is the duty of this body, of government, to help the fact that our kids, our schools are not able, with the multi-million dollar marketing campaigns, to fend off this threat to their health and the health of the next generation. And I also want to thank Representative Frazier for sharing his story of his uncle. I, too, had an uncle who passed away from a similar situation with addicted to smoking, and his son as well passed away at the age of 40. So, you know, it's a horrible thing, addiction. It's tough to quit. And as the Dr. Fung said, the e-cigarette use is not an FDA-approved device for this, and it's in we just need to do this bill today, and I'm proud to support it, and thanks to the representative for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Representative Bierman. Representative Akam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to Representative Frazier for bringing this bill forward. And earlier in member testimony was brought up about the estimated cost in our budget with general fund, and it was, I think, $400,000. And I just wanted to point out that in the Blue Cross Blue Shield study, they talked about the cost annually to Minnesotans in healthcare costs related to smoking and vaping is over $3 billion. And over 6,000 people die each year from smoking-related illnesses, smoking and vaping-related illnesses. And so thank you to Representative Frazier for bringing this forward. As a former smoker, the longer we can put off people starting smoking, the better. And the focus that is put on marketing toward youth is evident in the industry. And so I hope members will join me in supporting this provision. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Akam. I don't have any additional members on the list. I'll just add that I feel like this bill strikes the right balance. It, you know, targets a product that's been shown to be addictive, particularly to youth. It does not criminalize it. It places the emphasis where it needs to be on the retail sale. It doesn't prohibit possession, use, or purchase of any flavored product by young people. It's not likely to lead to increased interactions with law enforcement. It's part of our licensing structure that licenses tobacco retailers, and I think that's the right place for the focus of this. So, Representative Frazier, do you have any closing remarks before we turn to a vote?
Thank you, Chair Freiberg. I think you hit many of the points I was going to hit in my closing remarks. But I just want to say we have to have a sense of urgency about this. We've heard from our young people. We've heard from medical professionals. We've heard from elected officials about what the harm that it's doing to our communities, the harm that it's doing to our state in terms of what we have to pay, the cost that it causes us from a healthcare perspective. So we need to have a sense of urgency. So I am urging you all to have that sense of urgency and support this bill along with
it. Thank you, Representative Frazier. With that, I will renew my motion to re-refer House File 904 to the Health, Finance, and Policy Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
Yes.
Representative Grünhagen.
No.
Representative Akam.
Yes.
Representative Igbaje.
Yes.
Representative Ackland.
No.
Representative Carlson.
Yes.
Representative Franzen.
No.
Representative Heinzman.
No.
Representative Morrison.
Yes.
Representative Pryor.
Yes.
With 7 ayes and 4 nays, Chair.
Thank you. With the motion passes on a 7-4 vote. Thank you for presenting your bill, Representative Frazier. Appreciate you being in front of the committee for the whole committee hearing. So thank you for your time. With that concludes our business for the day. Seeing no questions from members, this meeting is adjourned.